Want to again greet you this morning in our Savior's name. We're still in the book of Job. This is my third message in the book of Job, and I think we could probably go for a long time yet. Possibility this may be the last one for the time being. But I've titled my message this morning, there was a man named Job with the subtitle, Used by God. I would love this morning to ask, I'm not going to, but I'd love to ask for a response. How are we used by God? There's many different ways. I think each individual here this morning would have a different way that they feel they can be used by God. My way is probably a little different than yours. And it takes grace for us to love each other in spite of what we see somebody else that they think they're being used for God. We might think, wait a minute, that's not being used for God. But yes, it is. There's different ways that we can be used by God. Now look at Job. I'm not sure that Job had a choice as far as being used by God in the trials that he faced. But we're going to go to a scripture. Actually, turn to Job 29. We're going to look at what Job's life was before God used him the way he did. We're going to find out that, yeah, Job was used by God before God used him through his trials. Job 29. And I want us to think about these things as positive things in Job's life. Verse 1, moreover, Job continued his parable and said, Oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when His candle shined upon my head, and when by His light I walked through darkness. As I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me, when I washed my steps with butter, and the rock poured me out rivers of oil. When I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street. Let's pay attention here from verse 8 on. It says, The young men saw me and hid themselves. Or the young men saw him as he came out and stepped to the side. And the aged arose and stood up. The princes refrained talking and laid their hand on their mouth. The nobles held their peace and their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard me, then it blessed me. And when the eyes saw me, it gave witness to me. Because I delivered the poor that cried. Look, he's being used here, isn't he? I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. I was eyes to the blind, and feet was I to the lame. I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out. And I brake the jaws of the wicked and plucked the spoil out of his teeth. We're going to stop reading there. Just a picture of what Job was like before God used him through his trials. Job was a man of honor. He had a close relationship with God. I hesitate to go through this next part, but I'm going to. You and I make excuses. Did you catch it? I said, you and I. I'm not pointing at you this morning saying you've made excuses so God doesn't use you. But I think if we're going to be honest, we've all had opportunity to be used by God and we've turned it down. This is negative, I know this. But I want you to listen. I'm willing to be used by God if it fits into my schedule. What is this? Busyness. If there's ever a time that we're busy, it's now. We're so busy that we really don't have time to allow God to use us because it doesn't fit into my schedule. I'm willing to be used by God if He doesn't ask me to make changes. What are some of the changes that we have to make? Abigail's got to make some changes. She's going to Thailand. By the way, if you weren't here Wednesday night, you missed something. Abigail shared some stories on Wednesday night about what God has done in her life and what He's continuing to do. And I ask that you pray for her as she goes. We've got quite a few youth that are out, that have gone out, that are being willing to be used by God. And I bless them for this. I'm willing to be used by God if I can see what He's doing or what He's trying to accomplish. I want to see what God's doing before I commit. God, if you can show me just a little bit about what's happening, what's at the end of this, Job didn't know. But what's at the end of this, I'm willing to let you use me. But I don't believe that's how God wants it. We need to trust. I'm willing to be used by God if it makes me popular. If people see me, that's pride. I'm willing to be used by God if there are financial blessings in the deal. God, if this pays good, I'll go. I'm willing to go if I see dollar signs at the end of it. What if it takes dollars from my pocket to go, to be used by God? I'm willing to be used by God, but I don't know how. And that's legitimate for some of us. But as we walk with God, as we get in the Scriptures, I believe we'll see how. I'm willing to be used by God if it doesn't cause discomfort. Americans, we love comfort. We love our houses. We love to be where it's comfortable. But what if God asked me to step out and to be used in a different way? It's going to be uncomfortable. Am I willing to go? Maybe God's asked me right here to be used by Him. When I leave the building this morning, there may be somebody that I'll meet out here. I don't have to go anywhere as far as going across seas. But He says, I want to use you right here. I talked to a man the other day that he said, every morning when I get up, I ask God, how can you use me today? Would you send somebody? Would you put me somewhere where I can be used for you today? That blessed me. I can't say that I do that all the time, but that blessed me. Second Chronicles 16:9. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. This comes right after Asa. King Asa had maybe I better just turn there. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles 16. Here we have King Asa in verse 1. And it talks about Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah, came against King Asa. And he built Ramah. He was fortifying a city that would lead down to where King Asa was at, so there couldn't be any travel there. There was no commerce. Eventually, if there was nothing happening there, there was going to be death. They were going to lose out. So what does Asa do? He goes into the house of the Lord. He takes out the silver and the gold in verse 2. Treasures of the house of the Lord. He takes that and he sends it up to another king and says, would you break ties with him? Would you break ties with Baasha? I'm not sure how to say that exactly, but would you break ties with him and join with me? And the king agreed to do that. And when we come to the end of it, there's I believe in verse 7, there's a seer that comes, Hanani, and he talks to Asa. And he says, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. You're not going to win. You relied on money and another king instead of me. And then he gives an example. He said, were not the Ethiopians and the Lubim a huge host? With very many chariots and horsemen, yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, then you relied on the Lord. He said, He delivered them into thine hand, And then he has this verse, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." He's looking for people that he can use. I want you to be thinking about this morning as we go through this message. Am I willing for God to use me? Am I just so satisfied where I'm at in my American life that, God, you can just kind of pass over me when you need somebody? I'm happy. We miss many, many blessings. I have four steps this morning that I want to look at. The first step we have is rooting out sin. I guess the reason I picked this as the first step is because many times I think we want God to use us and we're not done with ourselves. I want God to use me, but Lynn is still on the way. Lynn has sin in his life. And until I root out that sin, allow God to take that sin out, I don't believe he can use me like he wants to. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, "Flee also youthful lust." This is talking about purity. "But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call the Lord out of a pure heart." Is my life pure? Is there still sin somewhere that I know about that I'm just not quite willing to let go of? It's so easy for us today in our cultural, I don't know what you'd call it. We're so churched. Maybe I'll say it that way. We're so churched that sin really doesn't look like sin anymore. Church has become commonplace. We come to church, we sit down and we enjoy the singing, we enjoy the sermon. When the sermon is over, we go out those doors and we forget what we heard. Our lives haven't changed, and I'm not trying to point fingers at anybody this morning. This is as much me as anybody else. But our lives haven't changed. It's commonplace for us as Christians to be a part of the world and their doings. God is calling us out. He's asking us not to be a part of this. Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead." That's the past. Who were dead. If we know Christ, if we are walking with Him, that's the past. We were dead in trespasses and sins. "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." How many times do I go back? How many times do I delight in going back in the sin where I was before? Am I done with walking in a worldly way, in a way of loving the world and its pleasures? Something that we don't do a whole lot of. And I'm not sure why this is. Is it something that maybe we've lost our teaching? I'm not sure. But something that we don't do enough of, and I had to do that this week, that is get on my name and name sins. I believe all of us here this morning know where we're at in this. When we get on our knees and we name to God the sin that is in our heart, it's then that He can come in, that He can root out that sin, and we can be pure. Psalm 32:5 says, "I acknowledge," this is David speaking, "I acknowledge my sin unto Thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid." Does God know about our sin? Sure He does. But it's hard for us to admit sometimes that we've sinned. It's hard for us to admit to a brother or a sister that we've sinned. What are they going to think about us? I had a brother share with me one time. He's not from this congregation. But he shared something with me from his heart, and I'm not going to tell you what it was. But I'll be honest with you, he surprised me. He said, "This is a sin that's plaguing me in my life. I can't believe that this is where I'm at." But you know what? He was honest. When we become honest with God and with each other, we can find victory. "I acknowledge my sin unto Thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord." Listen to the last phrase. "And Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." When we confess to God and to each other, I don't believe that God hangs on to that sin and He brings it back and says, you remember this? It's gone. He forgives it. We need to root out sin. Sometimes instead of being willing to come and confess our sin, we try to live better. We just try to do better. I'm not going to go there again, God, but we really don't confess. I'm going to do better. And we forget what He's done for us. We forget about the assurance that He gives us of forgiveness if we come to Him. The freedom that that brings to us. Second Corinthians 5:15, and that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. At the feet of Jesus, we all come to the same level. Our hearts are made pure. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. The second point we want to look at is a willingness or desire to be a vessel, being available. I think we've touched on this already some. Being available, willingness, desiring. Maybe that's part of our problem. We have such a difficult time walking with Christ because we really don't desire Him. Job 1, verse 20 and verse 21. Then Job arose, and this was right after Job found out that his family was gone. He found out that his house was gone, his animals were gone. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground in worship and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See, Job was walking with God, and when this happened to him, he could still bless God. Job didn't turn and run. I believe he was still desiring God. Job went through some pretty low times. If we were to draw a graph of Job's life, there'd be a lot of ups and there'd be a lot of downs. Job went through some tough times. We do the same thing. But when he came out in the end, Job still blessed God. He still knew who his God was. What is my desire today? Is my desire for financial gain, everything that I can do in this life to become wealthy, to become comfortable? Or is my desire today to allow God to shape me, to mold me into what He wants me for this life? Did you know each one of you has a purpose in life? When God created you, He didn't just create you and said, here's another person. This guy can live life. This lady can live life. But God has a special purpose for each one of us. I don't know what your purposes are. I don't know all of my purposes yet. But I know God has a special purpose for each one of us. One purpose that we all have the same, and that is to bring God honor and glory with our walk. There's never a time that we are not to bring Him honor. Turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 6. Here we have the story of Daniel in the lion's den. It's a story that we knew as children. Daniel knew that there was a decree made that he was not allowed to pray to any god other. Actually, not allowed to pray to anybody that is God other than what they served in the kingdom. This was written up. Daniel knew about it. Daniel had opportunity to turn his back on this and to no longer pray like he had done three times a day. Let's go to verse 10. Daniel 6, verse 10. It says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house And his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He had done this before. Daniel had such a desire, it didn't matter what happened. Daniel was going to stay close to his God. Daniel had a desire to be available for his father, for his God. This is where the Lord spoke to me today as I was studying. Lord, empty me of me so I can be used by you. May I ask you this morning how full you are of yourself? Have you emptied yourself? Have you come to the Father and asked Him to cleanse you and take out yourself and put Himself there? Is your desire for God? God's not looking for superstars. He's not looking for somebody who can really do things. Somebody that thinks they really have got it made. He's not even looking for people that think they're qualified. If you think this morning that you're qualified, God's still got work to do in your life. And He does for all of us. But God isn't looking for the qualified, but He's looking for willing people. People that are willing, people that have desire to serve Him. He does the qualifying. The third one we want to look at is surrender. I don't like this word. There was quite a while that my wife and I were going through some issues in life. It wasn't issues between each other, but we were trying to decide, where are we at? How should we walk? What should we do in life? Things were kind of getting mundane. God, can you use us somehow? Would you use us? And then I came to the place where it was difficult for me to give in. I knew what God wanted, but really? You know what word that my wife kept coming back to me with? In just a quiet manner. Surrender. I don't know how many times she would come to me just quietly. She would say, surrender. Surrender is not easy. But when we come to the place where we surrender ours for His, we find peace. And I can't tell you what kind of peace that is. You need to experience that for yourself. I know many of you here have experienced that. Let's think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Probably Abednego, I say that wrong. Probably my 3 favorite men in all of Scripture in the stories. I love this story. Here we have Nebuchadnezzar. He builds this golden idol. And he says, when the music is played, I want everybody to bow. Everybody to bow to this idol. And here we have these 3 Jewish men. They don't even question. When the music is played, they stand tall. Everybody else is bowing, but they stand tall. So they're called in. Why will you not bow? Nebuchadnezzar is going to give them one more opportunity. And if you don't bow, we're going to throw you in a furnace. And we're going to burn you. I just love what they say in verse 16. Daniel 3 verse 16. I'll just read it here. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, it's not hard for us to answer this. We know where we're at. If it be so, our God we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. There's a possibility He's going to save us. And He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. See, there wasn't even a question there. We know who our God is. He's going to use us exactly how He wants to. He's going to get the glory. If it takes us getting burned, we're still going to do it. The story goes that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were tied up and thrown into a furnace. It made the furnace 7 times hotter. You know the story. Most of you do. made it seven times hotter. So hot that the men that took them and threw them into the furnace died from the heat. That's how hot it was. It wasn't long after that that the king looked into the furnace. Somebody tell me what he saw. Four men. What was the fourth one like? Angel, like the Son of God. Let me ask you this morning, am I so committed that people look at me and say, there's something about this? Abigail said, that lady looked at her and said, there's something about your eyes, I believe it was. There's something that she saw in Abigail, something different. Is God so real in my life that people can see it? Can people see that I'm walking with Him? It ends up, they bring them out of the fire, and it says the smell of fire wasn't even upon them. We would probably say the smell of smoke. Their hair weren't singed. And the end is that Nebuchadnezzar says nobody worships any god but their God. They surrendered to the Father so He could use them. Surrender is a battle term. It implies giving up rights to the conqueror. When an opposing army surrenders, they lay down their arms and the winners take control from then on. Surrendering to God works the same way. God has a plan for our lives, and surrendering to Him means we set aside our own plans and eagerly seek His. Somebody quote Jeremiah 29:11. I think I heard it. Not that one. There's another one. I have plans for you. I'll just read it here. For I know the plans. This is not King James. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Does that mean that God's not going to take us through some difficult trials? No. But He says, what I have for you are my plans and they are for good. They are for good. I'm giving you a hope and a future. Do we want that hope? Do we want that future? God's asking that we commit to Him, that we surrender. Surrender isn't about giving up. It's about letting go. When we let go, then God can come in and change our hearts, change our lives. As we continue to surrender ourselves wholly to God, the more our old self-worshipping nature is replaced with the character of God. Our last point, number four, is focus. I'd like for you to turn to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to begin reading in verse 9. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Do I want to experience the power that raised Him from the dead? Verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I think of a child. I remember coming home as a dad from the factory. I'd come in, I'd open the door, and here comes all these little feet running towards the door because dad was home. See who could get there first. Their arms are reached out, ready for a hug. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. That's action. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. How many things do we have in our lives today that distract us? There's so much that's happening around us. We can so easily lose our focus. We want to be committed to God. We want to walk with Him. We have our morning devotions, whether that's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour, I don't know what you do. But we can step outside of our house and go to work, and our focus shifts completely away from the Father. It doesn't matter what job you have today. There's still a possibility, there's still opportunity for you to think about the Father as you go through your work. There's opportunities for you to be in prayer. There's opportunities for you to share with others around you. But there's so many little things that distract us, that take our focus off of the Father. What happens, excuse me, right now we got the Olympics happening. Let's say we have a runner, and he's running, there's three others beside him, and they're all running, and they're running as hard as they can to get to the end goal. What happens when we have one runner that keeps looking back to see what's happening behind him, to see if they're catching up? Is he going to speed up? He's going to slow down. We're running this race. We're looking forward. We're pressing towards the mark. We're not taking our eyes off the goal. Who's our goal? Jesus Christ. We don't take our eyes off the goal. We keep pressing on. Knowing Christ and experiencing the same power in my life as He has experienced in the resurrection. Suffering with Him through His death. Pressing on. Pressing in. To possess the same perfection He has. Forgetting the past and looking out ahead. And I wrote in bold letters here, that lights my fire. Because when I think about running the race for Christ and what's at the end of this race, it's like there's a fire behind me. I want to go. I want to keep going. Staying the course. Keeping our eyes focused on Him. I have some friends that I check with from time to time. And there's no question in my mind who they're living for. Because it seems every time we start talking, they go right back to Scripture. This is what I'm living for. I love my God. I love my Savior. And I'm going to keep right on fighting until we get there. And things aren't easy for them. But they want to keep right on fighting. They want to win. They want to keep their focus on Him. I'm going to close this morning, giving you a challenge this morning to be willing, to be excited, to let go of your own ways. Allow God to cleanse you. Allow Him to root out that sin. Knowing that the cause, not sure how to say this, but knowing what we have in the future is way bigger than what we have right now. Yes, we have Jesus Christ, and we're going to have Him in the future. We're running this race, but friends, our eternal inheritance is something we can't imagine. May I say that our eternal inheritance, if we don't live for God, is something we also can't imagine. Let's walk this life being willing, desiring Him, allowing God to use us in whatever way He wants, to be available and to be used by God. Would you stand this morning as we pray? I'm just going to ask this morning, in your heart, as we bow our heads, if God is speaking to you, would you listen to His call? Would you give Him everything you've got? I think we'll just open up this morning. There's something in your heart that you believe you need to take care of so you can continue to run this race, so you can be used by God. I'm going to lead in prayer. And if there's something that's bothering you that needs to be taken care of, would you come up to the altar this morning and somebody will come pray with you? I don't know where your hearts are at this morning. But I know when we surrender to Him, we give Him everything we've got. There's a peace that I can't describe to you. There's a peace that comes with letting God have complete control. Let's pray. Father, this morning we want to bless You. We want to bless You, Lord, because You promised You'd be with us. Father, make us willing to be used by You. You've shown us in Scripture, Father, that if we're willing to allow You to use us, Lord, You do mighty things through us. And it brings us no honor and glory, but Lord, it brings You glory, and that's what we're seeking for, is to honor Your name this morning. Would You take us, Father? Would You cleanse us? Would You take the me out of us and fill us with You? Oh, Lord, our desire is to be close to You. Thank You for this congregation. I ask, Lord, that You would bless each person here. Make us vessels that You can use for Your honor and glory. Dismiss us in Your name, we pray. Amen.